Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Charlie Kirk Show. We have an amazing guest, and I have an incredible conversation with him. James O'Keefe, founder of Project Veritas, who has been banned from Twitter recently. He has done some amazing exposés of the left and is a true citizen journalist. We go into all things mainstream media bias, tech companies, you name it. He's become a friend over the years, and he fights. He really, really fights. He is a great American citizen and activist all around. So before we get into this episode, shoot us an email, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. And take out your phone right now, type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider, and hit that subscribe button right now. We are on Spotify, so make sure you guys are following us on Spotify. And help us continue to surge in the charts. Type in Charlie Kirk Show. Hit subscribe. Leave us a 5-star review. And here we go. Please enjoy my exclusive interview with the great James O'Keefe.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
All right, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show, my dear friend, James O'Keefe.
Great to be with you.
I think I finally have someone on the Charlie Kirk Show the left hates more than me.
Well, I'd view that as a compliment, I guess.
I do. How are things?
Things are busy. We're doing a lot of stories. I'm very excited to be here, and I thank you very much, Charlie, for putting this on. And it's amazing what you've built, and it's an honor to participate
in this.
Thank
you. Have you exposed another news network lately?
Oh, they've already been exposed. We're just holding on to the tapes.
Extraordinary, James. I mean, for our listeners that don't know, here's how I describe what James O'Keefe does. He does what the media should be doing if they actually investigated both sides.
Yes, and the media has abdicated their responsibility. You saw it with the CNN tapes where Jeff Zucker was saying, oh, let's only focus on impeachment, not focus on anything else. Can you imagine if the Fox News president was saying the inverse of that? I mean, the company would be out of business. Mm-hmm. So, and what's amazing about this, Charlie, is that the people on the inside now come to us, these heroes that are, they follow their conscience and they blow the whistle and they get it on tape, and it's just the beginning. It's a movement being created.
James, I find it amazing how you're able to outdo yourself every single time. And so you and I connected many times. You spoke at our Turning Point Student Action Summit 4 years ago, and it's grown a little bit.
From you could Palm say Beach. That, yes.
And then you and I, when you were doing Project Veritas Action, we connected a little bit on the campaign. Mm-hmm. In 16, mm-hmm. And you played a very big role in that.
That's right. We met each other in a lobby of some New York hotel, and I had shown you the Democracy Partners tape of Bob Creamer. You had met Creamer. You were involved somehow. You said there were evil things about him. We caught him on tape saying it was Hillary's idea to incite this violence at Trump rallies, and I showed that to you privately before it was released. Eventually, it was mentioned by Trump in the debates with Hillary Clinton, and credited with having an impact on that election.
Very big impact. And I mean, that's the type of investigative work that is so sorely missing from, you know, the media body. So James, where do you see this heading with the work you're doing, the work Project Veritas is doing? I mean, you've exposed CNN, you've exposed ABC, the Epstein, right. You've got a government program defunded and eliminated. Right. Which is more than most Republicans can ever say, which is actually how you got your start, and I want to dive into that. So what do you have coming up next?
I think, you know, Mark Levin said this at your gala. He said, what can I do? That's the question you hear people
all
say.
All the time,
what
I get
can
that
I do?
Question.
What can I do? What can I do?
And you and I have never had trouble answering that
question. No, we're busy doing the things, all the things. But the bottom line is, you know, you can fight, you can support those who fight, or you can do nothing, as Dennis Prager says. But what I find is that there are a lot of people who actually do want to do something, and they just need some place to go. You've built an amazing, amazing program for college kids, and I think some of the most effective work you've done is in the student governments. I mean, that's incredible. That's actual impact, which not a lot of organizations can attest to. But what we can find are these people inside Google, Facebook, ABC, CNN.
I forgot about Google. My goodness.
And these people work for these companies, and they're making a lot of money, and they're – but they're empowered, and they desperately want to do something. So what's going to happen in 2020 is you're going to see In 2019, it was 8 whistleblowers. In 2020, twice that many. Come forward, film, and we need to see the truth. Images transfix in a way that words simply do not. You need to see it, and it causes what Andrew Breitbart, my mentor, would call righteous indignation, which compels public policy. And I think we have an ally synergistically with Donald Trump, who I think does want to do something to reform these tech companies and their abuses and their bias.
What would you do with the tech companies?
Well, there's a lot of public policy being discussed, but I say this: you shouldn't lie under oath. What these people are saying,
that's a good point.
They don't do these things. There's laws against perjury in this country. And if I lied under oath, Charlie, if you lied under oath, we'd be held accountable for it.
We would be Paul Manafort.
They're lying to the
Michael
FBI,
Flins.
All these things. They get prosecuted. So I hope that the people in power, Barr seems like a decent man. I hope that there's equal justice before the law. So when we release these next tapes showing, proving what the tech companies are doing, the people are held accountable.
When running a business, HR issues can kill you. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations. I could tell you from Turning Point USA, from running this podcast, you know, really being an entrepreneur, if you're not complying, you're dying and your business could go away. HR managers' salaries, they aren't cheap. They can go average $70,000 a year. So that's where I came familiar with this amazing service. It's called Bambi. No, not that Bambi. This Bambi. B-A-M-B-E-E. B-A-M-B-E-E. Was created specifically for your small business. So here's what it is. You don't want to hire an HR manager, but guess what? For $99 a month, you can use Bambi, who has your dedicated HR manager who's available by phone, email, or real-time chat. So you guys have some problem that you might need to get solved. Well, Bambi has got you covered. So you guys might be running a dry cleaning business. You guys might be carpenter business. You guys might be having a speaking bureau business, whatever it might be. And you guys just say, oh my goodness, HR is absolutely running my costs up. Well, that's where Bambi comes in. So let Bambi help get your free HR audit today. You didn't start your business because you wanted to spend time in HR compliance. It can be so time consuming, month to month, no hidden fees. You can cancel anytime. So here's what you do. Go to Bambi.com/Kirk right now to schedule your free HR audit. They do a great job. It's Bambi.com/Kirk. Spell BAM to the B.com/Kirk. Something hit me, and I underestimated this 2 or 3 years ago. The collusion between the criminal division of the Department of Justice and the mainstream media. And it's important to understand they work in tandem. The DOJ will leak to the Washington Post or the New York Times or Daily Beast even. So here's how it works in my opinion. If it's a more less substantiated story, the less substantiated it is, the more fringed left they'll leak to. So for, you know, BuzzFeed, Daily Beast, Huffington Post. But if they have more facts, they'll leak to Washington Post, New York Times.
I've lived it. I've lived it in a smaller way for the last decade of my life. We did a story in New Hampshire on voter fraud, and we had filmed at the polling booths ballots being offered out in the names of the deceased. And the media was contacting professors, trying to find the law professor that would say O'Keefe broke the law. And it's just, listen, we're up against a tidal wave of media corruption, but we have to be the media. We have to do the job. And you've said this to me, you know, when you tweet out our stories, you have a blue check mark. I actually don't, by the way. I have 700,000 followers.
I'm surprised you haven't been kicked off Twitter altogether.
I think it's gotten to the point, knock on wood, where if they do that, it's too obvious. I don't even curse on Twitter. I mean, I do nothing that would make me get kicked off.
What was the reason for deverification?
They never verified me in the first place, Charlie.
No. I thought you were verified at once, right?
I don't think we've ever been. We have. PV is verified. I'm not. So okay. I don't know the reason.
There's some bad dudes that are verified.
You know, I view it as a badge of honor. I think not being verified is the new verified.
Well, that makes me feel pretty bad.
When you have this many followers.
Now I'm verified. Am I not in the good club now?
No, but it's a badge of honor that they don't legitimize me in their own eyes. But I can tell you that we have to do the job ourselves.
I'm trying to help with distribution.
You do a great job. And you said to me, if you can get those clips into the hands of people like Don Jr.
It just has
yourself.
To be digestible. The long stuff, you know, and it has to be embedded. And it usually does very, very well. I mean, the Epstein one, we caught pretty early.
Yes.
And we were part of many others. I mean, that had 11 million, 12 million. On Twitter, that's an unbelievable
amount. It was the biggest
amount.
Story. That was the tape of Amy Robach. This woman was very sincere, very credible.
It's an unbelievable expose.
Yeah. And it was recorded and shot by an insider working for ABC News who still is on the inside. They fired the wrong person. They retaliated against a woman at a different company they thought was our source. It was an extraordinary event, Charlie, and ABC was colluding with CBS News. These are competitors. And ABC is owned by Disney Corporation. And and the whistleblower is just trying to talk about how Epstein's protecting the Clintons, child pedophilia. So, yes, we live in dark times. And my message tomorrow in front of all these students that you've gathered here is that you guys, some of you are going to have to do the job yourselves. And and it may not be working for the Washington Post. Yeah. Because the Washington Post and the New York Times are trying to hunt down the person who recorded that tape instead of actually tell the story of what they uncovered.
And so the ABC News, they were more outraged that the tape got leaked than the fact internally they suppressed the story. But even worse than that, where was the outrage from the rest of the clamoring pundit media that ABC did not cover the Epstein story? She said I had all the facts, I had all the sources, everything, and it got killed.
Yes. So I can tell you, Charlie, that there was indignation privately, but none of the people in the media had the stones to say that publicly.
But that's a change, James. You know what the change is, though? You want to see how much our politics have changed? Do you think Acorn would be defunded today?
Probably not in the Congress.
Why?
That's a very complicated long.
But that's a good. It's an important question.
I think
James,
we should talk about it
because you got a government fund. You got a government program defunded with a Democrat Congress.
Yes, democratically controlled House and Senate.
You got a program defunded in 2009.
Yes,
a decade ago.
And President Obama signed that legislation.
That's right. So you had Obama, and again, they reappropriated the money in a different way and all sorts of crazy corruption stuff.
Right.
But Acorn closed its doors.
Yeah, a Senate voted 83-7 in September of 2009 to defund Acorn, and there was a sphere of consensus. I mean, this is what Andrew Breitbart called the Abu Ghraib of the Great Society. These government workers, classify prostitution as performing arts on the 990 tax return.
No, but James, that's just as bad as. What's his name? Dalyden?
David Dalyden.
Who might go to jail.
He hopefully doesn't, and I think that...
Which is an unbelievable outrage.
It is an outrage.
But those videos that he had of Planned Parenthood are equally, if not more, morally reprehensible, not necessarily legally because our laws are so screwed up when it comes to abortion, than yours.
Well, Charlie, I was incarcerated, at least temporarily, and vindicated eventually. After the Acorn story, I was in a federal building. I showed my real driver's license. I did not break the law, but they arrested me. And because of what I did with the Acorn story, they charged me with the crime. When you take on people in power, when you expose them effectively, you're going to be attacked.
No, I agree with this, but there's a deeper point here. What's changed since 2009 to now, where Democrats said, oh, no, we'll defund this thing.
Yeah.
They would hold the line today.
The issue now, I think, and this is a really good thing to talk about, is that they have no shame.
That's the point.
They deny facts. There's no way to – the spirit.
But so they had shame in 2009?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So what changed from 2009 to now?
The Democratic Party has become monolithic and they deny facts. It's journalism by implication. They don't want to support or acknowledge facts if those facts imply a public policy that they disagree with. And in the Acorn story, even Jon Stewart said this is bad.
Yes.
But the guy on Comedy Central, what's his name now? Trevor Noah, he would never even acknowledge. So it's the Leninist Soviet way where you don't acknowledge or don't say the facts that imply the public policy that you don't like. That's what's changed, but it's going to get worse.
It's very significant, and this is what's confused me with this. And I always use your example frequently. People, I think one of the biggest fallacies, and I always try to call this out on our podcast, is people say, "Well, history repeats itself. Everything goes in a circle." There's no evidence of that whatsoever. I think it's much more a vector theory that there's no evidence that we're going to go back to the way things were.
Mm-hmm.
No evidence of that. And this example, I don't know in my lifetime we're going to go back to an America that in 2009 you could get a government program defunded in front of Congress because of an exposé video.
There was,
and I'm not trying to invalidate the work you've done recently. Obviously not. I'm disappointed in how the country's gone. That would be, if that happened today, every Democrat would say Acorn does proud work in our communities.
Right.
This is a misplaced video, selectively edited, that was a stunt, and it's an isolated example.
I would say, Charlie, that yes and no, that the media apparatus and the Democratic Party leadership would say that, but they're like 2% of a Venn diagram that is larger. And I do think that, like, we did this thing on the teachers union in 2018, and the guy looks like something out of The Sopranos. This guy goes, we put the abuse back onto the child. We protect the worst people. And the Democratic Senate and the Democratic legislator and the Democratic governor all condemned the teachers union, and they're all on the.
Did anything happen legislatively?
There was some reform. They fired the people involved, and I think this is the price of liberty: is eternal vigilance. I mean, this is the thing I have to say to the students tomorrow. I have to say, yeah, you hit them, and you keep hitting them, and you keep fighting, and you don't stop, and you keep going. You're indefatigable. This is what it takes, and the key thing is they hit you back after the first. They hit you. They hit me. They call us whatever they want to call us. But you have to be willing to be like Trump. You have to be pugnacious and indefatigable. You have to be hit. And you say, I don't care what you think of me. I believe in this. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're scared of. We're going to break a story in January, Charlie. And I'm not going to say on the record what it is. I'll tell you off the record after this.
You have to tell us.
Well, not on the record before January. And I'll tell you off the record after the interview. And we have these tapes inside the campaigns. And they're saying things that you go, oh, my God. You release one, and they say that's an isolated incident. You release two, and three, and four.
You release one, let them react.
Yes.
That's the bright – Andrew taught you that.
Andrew taught me that.
Let's talk about Andrew for a second. I never had a chance to meet Andrew.
Sure.
He passed away about a couple months before I got into
March
the movement.
March 1st, 2012. I'll never remember that. Forget that day.
You're in his documentary, the documentary.
Hating Breitbart.
It's so raw and authentic.
Yes, it's very, very authentic.
Do you know what I like about that documentary is that – there's a lot of new media pundits. You flip through Twitter on our side, right? All these guys that have big followings and channels. Andrew was the first of the first of this.
Yes. Andrew, this is this generation or Generation Z, I suppose. Andrew died 8 years ago. So I talked to him every day. He tweeted probably, I'm not exaggerating, hundreds of thousand times a day.
He would retweet the hate.
He was like a human machine, and he would retweet every negative tweet about him, and he would fight. They say only punch up. He would punch down towards the bottom feeders, and it was hilarious and amazing and intelligent and incredible. And he would do it while he was running the company, while he was writing columns. He was brilliant.
I know.
And there's not many people that alive today. Yes, their nature abhors a vacuum, and there's some. But this man was a one-stop shop at fighting back. And there's no one like him. He died, and it's very sad. And what he taught me more than anything else was when you are lied about, especially on Twitter, you fight back and you don't stop and you run towards the fire is what he used to say.
So I think Donald Trump – or somebody learned something from somebody.
That's true. That's true. Donald Trump, many have said he is the Andrew Breitbart of our generation. Yes.
If you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business. This is a great product I want to talk to you about at Turning Point USA and at the podcast. We've been going over a lot of numbers, kind of doing our 2020 planning here. And that's why all of you guys should subscribe to The Charlie Kirk Show. It makes our planning a lot easier. But I can tell you that NetSuite by Oracle has set to solve the problem of not knowing your numbers and not knowing your business. Most companies don't have a clear picture of their finances, and that's why many businesses fail. The question for any business owner out there is, are you confident that you've got the right numbers at your fingertips? I've done a personal demo of NetSuite, and I can tell you, having bad information or no information or flying blind, it's really something that's not acceptable. Serious entrepreneurs and finance teams run on NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. NetSuite offers a full picture of all your finances all in one place, in real time, right from your phone or your desktop. No more guessing, no more worry that what you don't know could kill your company. That's why NetSuite customers grow 3 times faster than the S&P 500, and you can too. Schedule your free demo right now and receive their free guide, 7 Key Strategies to Grow Your Profits. I'm telling you guys, got to check it out. It was a terrific thing. It's right now. You go to netsuite.com/Kirk. You pull out your phone, go to netsuite.com/Kirk. It's a free demo, and get your free guide today at netsuite.com/Kirk. That's netsuite.com/Kirk. And so you've been doing this for how many years now?
Well, I started a college newspaper when I was 19, a Rutgers Centurion, and then I started Project Veritas in 2008, 2009, I did the Planned Parenthood expose with Lila Rose, and then the Acorn expose with Hannah Giles, 2009. So about a decade officially. And now we have over 50 employees. It's like the special forces of investigative journalism. We have a small cohesive team, and we're growing. We're up to a couple dozen journalists now, and even a couple dozen whistleblowers with cameras inside these institutions.
Wow. Which one of these, if you're all your projects, which one are you most proud of?
Great question. I think the Creamer one, Charlie, that I showed you privately.
It was unbelievably good.
That was huge. That was covered on all the mainstream New York Times front page. Hillary had to fire. They had to fire Bob Creamer, who's married to Jan Schakowsky, days before the presidential election. Trump brings it up in the debate with Hillary. She denies it. I think the biggest one. I think ABC News was big because of the Epstein, and I also think it has inspired other insiders to come to us within media companies. Mm-hmm. And that's really big that other
people –
Well, it
says something. They won't even go to any other conservative news outlets.
You know, I'll tell you something what happened. I'm meeting with these people. It's like something out of All the President's Men. I'm meeting with these insources in these hotel rooms and wherever else we meet with them, and they said to me something. They said, I couldn't go to the New York Times. I couldn't go to the Washington Post. They'd sell me out in a heartbeat. I had to go someplace where those people would have my back, never quit, never surrender, scream from the rooftops. And they says, there's only one place I could think of going, Project Veritas.
Wow.
No one else would tell our story. In this country, no other American journalist would tell the story that we showed.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how damning that is of our media environment. But that's the status quo.
And so what's been the biggest lesson doing all this?
Because
we have a lot of young
written
listeners.
Two books about all the lessons. Single biggest.
Understand, James, a lot of our many listeners are just being exposed to you in the recent years.
I would say the biggest lesson. I'm looking at my producer because my mind is going through 30 lessons. One of the biggest lessons is Churchill said, what was the quote from Winston Churchill? He said, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It's the courage to continue that counts. The courage to continue. I am 35 years old. I've been doing this in a major way for 10 years. And I have been through, you know, I've been arrested. I've been through hell. I've been sued 25 times. I've been threatened with lawsuits.
You've never lost a lawsuit,
I have
though.
Not lost a lawsuit that I've litigated. I've won 7 lawsuits this year. And yesterday, one of these teachers union people had to pay us money after suing us. The lesson I've learned, Charlie, is to not stop. And that may sound simple. It's actually it's something I've learned the hard way, is to keep going. And there have been many times that I've thought about quitting. Who wants to be called names and called racist and sued and be in federal jury trials and be arrested and so forth and so on? But I've learned there's one thing that they can't defeat, and that is the willpower to stand up in the face of their lies.
And they're betting on our surrender.
That's the only thing that they've got in their favor, because they have one thing that we don't have, and that's the power of the media to humiliate you. We don't have a CNN in airports that propagate our narrative every day. They have that. So that's a very psychologically powerful deterrent.
So I have to stop you there. Do you understand? You probably know this, but you're writing exposed CNN. You know there's like this whole very interesting infrastructure behind why CNN is in airports.
I'd love to know.
They have an exclusive contract with the federal government to pipe CNN through all of our airports. It's through the FAA, through the Federal Airport Administration. They have this whole exclusive contract that the only news providers can be HLN and CNN, which are two Turner properties. So anyway, you brought up CNN and airports.
Well, I think
our own federal government is assisting.
That needs to be exposed too. But my point
you
is
got to get an air traffic controller whistleblower.
There's the target rich environment.
Which,
out
by
there.
The way, that's you and I should talk.
It's
about
a target rich environment. But here's the deal: the temptation, Charlie, to sell out. I want my book reviewed by the New York Times. I want to get on Good Morning America. Mm-hmm. The temptation to do that is so great that most human beings are not willing to be. You got to be a masochist to do this for a decade. And I've had people who have stopped doing it say, "I don't know how you've done this for 10 years, James."
No, that's a legitimate question.
It's hard.
Yes,
it's. But there are some things more important than being praised by the media.
What I'm most impressed by with you, James, two things: your perseverance through the adversity. I mean, I've dealt with a lot of people that are hated by the media. It's a next level with you. I mean, I've never seen anything like it.
I mean, and Andrew Breitbart would say that that is a
badge of honor.
That's a badge of honor, but it's not easy. And Rush Limbaugh says it too, Charlie. He says no one likes to be hated. We are brought up wanting to be liked.
We're social creatures. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you're going to do this, if you're going to expose the truth, if you're going to expose ABC Goldstein working with the royal family to cover up child pedophilia, you're going to be hated by all the people you want to be liked by. And your book will not be reviewed by the New York Times. You will not get the positive ink. But what you will have is an army of patriots, many of whom were at this conference, who are – that's what matters to me, is the people, the majority of good people in this country who care about integrity.
Well, and the second part, James, that impresses me, and I don't want to say I never underestimated you, but I did underestimate the potential of your effort 3 or 4 years ago, because I thought you would run out.
Yeah,
I thought, and this is, I thought you were going to run out of people to get on camera. Like, I thought eventually. No, this is the truth. I thought people.
I remember you saying this.
No, I said this to you. I said, James, you got to.
How do you catch these people?
I said you got a big infrastructure problem here, because eventually they're going to be very paranoid about what they're saying on camera, and you're just going to run out of content. And you said, let me worry about that. You keep outdoing yourself.
Yes. Well, it comes down to the fact that these people, especially Democrats in red states, instead of fixing the problems, that's what people do, the targets that we film, instead of reforming their behavior, they just work on not getting caught doing the thing that we exposed.
Well, that's what's so fascinating.
That's the thing. I would reform my behavior. I would say, shame on me. Let me do the ethical
thing. That's what I thought they would start to do.
Never.
Okay,
never.
Maybe, you know.
What they do is they take the fraud into the shadows, so we have to be more clandestine and sophisticated in catching it.
So that's such an important point, is that the left, they've never been sorry for what they've done.
Never.
They're only sorry they got caught.
Always. And that's why we have to be more sophisticated. Undercover work is about access, meaning you have to be in the place, have the relationship built, which is why these whistleblowers and insiders coming out of CNN, ABC, Google, etc., you'll see more coming out next year. That's why it has to be about whistleblowers filming. It's a movement of whistleblowers who follow their conscience and do the right thing. That's very inspirational. I'm proud to say that it's going to blow up next year.
What do you have to say to the accusations on the left that you're using unethical tactics and all the – I mean, these are the things that are –
They can never – I say I will donate $10,000 to the charity of anyone's choice that's watching this program or listening if they can name one thing that we have published – that is not true since Project Veritas was incorporated. Charlie, they can't do it. They'll say, well, you
selectively edit it.
Edit the tape. Name the edit, please. Find the edit, the so-called edit. The Washington Post, the New York Times edits things all the time. In fact, they've printed dozens of retractions just about me.
But also, let's be perfectly clear. Any interview with the New York Times, any story, they'll interview you for an hour and a half and they'll use one sentence.
Yeah.
That's editing.
And that's okay.
And then they'll never disclose the rest of it.
They'll never. And the anonymous sources is Bob Woodward. You want to talk about hearsay? Bob Woodward does a book on Trump. He quotes an anonymous source who quotes another source and puts that hearsay in direct quotes and calls that journalism. Charlie, I don't do that. I only report something when you can see the person's face and you can see their lips. So I think journalism has become deeply corrupted. It's lie by omission. It's hearsay. It's anonymous sources have been abused. And the only solution is to do the work and to be the leader, to be the change we wish to see in the world. We have to do it, unfortunately. We have to do the journalism and set the example for the American media.
How can people help listening to this podcast? They can donate to Project Veritas.
They can donate. The number
and
one
Project
thing.
Project Veritas Action, which will be more important in the
Yeah, we got a C3 and a 501c3 and a C4 as you
somewhat
do.
Somewhat familiar.
And I would say that the way that they can help is to go to veritastips@protonmail.com. And if you're on the inside of an institution, if you see something, you can be a hero. Our heroes are not the people on TV. Our heroes are big men who actually do something about the problem. And our celebrities are big names. Our heroes are big men. So it's the honest cop. It's the honest school teacher. It's the honest Silicon Valley engineer, Charlie. Send us a tip, veritastips@protonmail.com.
It's incredible. Anything else, James, you'd like to plug in the time we have remaining?
If you're lying, cheating, stealing, or scamming, you may just be the next unwilling internet celebrity. Stay tuned for the next big bombshell.
So, James, what you're saying is I have to share that. I will share it. I don't have to do any of it, but I will be sharing it on my Twitter feed, whatever you may
or may
not have.
I'd love if you could do that.
You got it, James. You're an American patriot. Thank you, James.
Thank you, Charlie.
What a great conversation that was with James O'Keefe. Check out his work he does at Project Veritas. And make sure you guys are subscribed to this show. Type in Charlie Kirk Show, hit subscribe, get your friend to do the same. Get two friends right now to subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show. We are growing amazingly quick thanks to your support. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, check out tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. The organization is growing by leaps and bounds. We're on 2,000 high school and college campuses across the country fighting for free markets, liberty, and American exceptionalism. tpusa.com, and shoot us those emails, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. See you soon. We have exciting news. It's official. Our show is now on Spotify, and it's free. We want to make it super easy for you and your friends to listen to the podcast, and joining Spotify allows us to be even more places for you guys to find us. So go to Spotify right now if you guys enjoy it already. If you already listen to music on Spotify, now you can listen to the podcast in the same place. If you're not on Spotify yet, all you have to do is download the free app. That's right. No credit card necessary. Go to Spotify, type in The Charlie Kirk Show, press subscribe. Keep listening, everybody. Thanks so much.